This is episode number 44 with Sebastian Terry.
Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Hello, beautiful people. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Rise Higher podcast. Now, today I'm talking to best-selling author Sebastian Terry, and he's also the founder of 100 Things and Kindsome, which is a new project that's designed to bring more kindness into the world, which I am all about that. Now, Sebastian is inspiring people all over the world to spread kindness and to give themselves the permission to define how they want to live their own lives. Now, in a moment of reflection after the loss of a friend, Sebastian reevaluated his life. And his answer is a list of 100 things, the things that he'd always wanted to do. Basically, he created a bucket list of 100 things that lit him up no matter how scary or confronting. Now, we're talking swimming with sharks, skydiving naked, saving a life, to marrying a stranger in Vegas and living on the streets, and so many more things. You guys can definitely check out his list on his website. But after Sebastian made his list, he jumped right in to start accomplishing as much as possible the things that were on his list. And through the process, he got to know himself better, and it revealed what truly made him happy. Now, through this journey, Sebastian discovered that true fulfillment came from helping others, and he shifted from finishing his list to helping other people to create and complete theirs. Now, this came from one of the most meaningful experiences he had, helping someone run a half marathon, which you guys will hear about that story in today's episode. And Sebastian's book, his TV series, and talks all around the world are inspiring people to shake off what people think they should do and to actually follow what makes them truly happy. So some of the things that we talk about today are how to powerfully confront your fears, the importance of getting out of your comfort zone, why you should always put yourself first, how helping others can increase your happiness, giving yourself permission to define and design a life on your own terms, that changing your actions is the first step towards changing your results, the liberation that comes with pursuing your happiness, and why success is truly about giving back and the impact that you've made, and of course, so much more. Now, this episode is full of hilarious and insightful stories and wisdom about what it takes to find your happiness and how liberating it can be. This is all about growth, connection, and staying in touch with yourself. And ultimately, the key to happiness is you. Now, after you have a listen, I would love to know what you think of this episode. Make sure that you take a snap, actually screenshot this podcast. In fact, do it right now that you're listening to. Tag me on Instagram at I am Stephanie Kwong so I can shout you back. Also, if you know some peeps who need a little extra boost to create more happiness in their life, you definitely want to share this episode out with them. Okay, here we go with Sebastian. Sebastian, it is so awesome to have you on the Rise Higher podcast.
Hello. How are you? I've developed this English accent.
That actually sounded like a Chinese accent for a second.
Oh, was it? I was going for...
You're like, hello.
Well, that sounds English to me. Hello.
Hello. Oh. Oh, there we go.
No, I thought I heard that. And I was like, is it because you're staring at me right now and going, oh, let me bust out a Chinese accent?
No, that is not what I was thinking.
It is such a pleasure to have you on the Rise Higher podcast, Sebastian, because I know, or Seb.
I don't mind.
Are we there yet?
Well, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seb or Sebastian, I don't mind.
You know what's really weird is if I first meet someone and I introduce myself as Stephanie and they cut to Steph like that, I'm like, whoa. We don't know each other as well. But if I have like some of my really close friends calling me Stephanie, I think I'm in trouble.
I get that. Where's the line? Where do you then? Does someone have to give you permission to call them by their nickname? I don't know.
I don't know yet.
Well, so, I like what you went with. I can't remember what you went with, but let's do that.
Permission for Seb.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So you've done such... I have loved hearing your story, seeing what you're creating. I'd love for you to share. I know that, you have this thing called 100 Things.
Yes.
You've done so much good already in your time on this planet. Through that, and then also something new that you're creating, which we'll share about that later on. But you had a moment of time. Were you 24 also when Chris?
Yes.
Okay. I would love for you just kind of dive in a little bit about your story and what launched this whole 100 things in your life.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a journey that's been about 10 years, just under at the moment. It started off with me creating a list of 100 things that I wanted to try and do to find happiness, maybe find myself type thing. You know, those kind of quests that we all have. It was triggered by a few things. I went to university, got a degree after high school because that's what I was told I should do.
Yep.
Came out feeling pretty kind of underwhelmed. I lost a close friend of mine called Chris. And of course, that affected me and a whole community in a big way. I started a business as well that I thought that's just what you should do. And I was just so unhappy doing that. And, those three things sort of combining at one kind of moment in my life. And I decided or realized that I was super unhappy, just really unhappy. Didn't know who I was, didn't know what my values were, didn't have ambition that felt like mine. It was more ambition of others. And so I just thought, well, if I just had to be happy, forget about everything around me, what would I do? And I just started jotting down things that I thought would make me smile and experience the world and just feel good. And one thing led to 100 things on a bit of paper. And shortly after that, it just made sense to me to prioritize my happiness. And I thought, well, the only way to do this is to drop everything in my life and put all my energy towards my list. And so that was the beginning of what people know as 100 things, which is just, it's kind of like a cool, concept. It's a very quirky story. I've done a lot of weird things and we can talk about those things. And then, just for those people listening, because it's very selfish at this point, right? It's very self-indulgent, things I want to do, me, me, me. But it flipped over at a certain point where it accidentally resonated with a bigger audience. People became, I hate using this word, but they were inspired. People were like, oh, well, if he can do it, why can't I? And I thought, how amazing. So I started an online community of people who were all dreaming and pursuing goals. And then I very naturally found myself helping people. So the first person I helped was a guy and we can talk at length about this,
yeah.
But I pushed a guy in a wheelchair so he could complete a half marathon, which was his dream. His name's Mark. He's a good friend of mine now. And that sort of changed the trajectory of 100 things into this kind of helping movement. So I just stopped my list at 72, started helping people. And then fast forward a little bit more and here I am in LA where I now live. I moved here where I've just
launched. Across the street from me pretty much.
That's why. That was the main reason.
No, we didn't know.
And I now connect strangers to engage in acts of kindness through this new platform I just launched called Kindsome. So it's like online dating but for acts of kindness. That's me in a nutshell.
Ooh. So when you... I think so many people live in a state of unhappiness, right? And they don't actually allow themselves to tap into it. And I think it was really cool that you're like, what can I do to make me happy? What does happiness mean to you?
It's one of those questions, right? It's different for everyone. I don't know if anyone's right or wrong, but I think looking retrospectively back at everything I've done, Because I've done some pretty cool things on my list, and even like the notion of helping people, people celebrate me for doing that. And I don't know whether those are the specific things that actually make me happy on a really fundamental level. It's nice, you know, I'd love to be able to say, well, it's because I help people. That's why I'm happy. I mean, it's almost too cliche. I think ultimately for me, what I think, could be wrong, but I think it's the happiness is this idea that you work out over time who you are, whatever that looks like, it's different for everyone. And then you learn to be you. And that's it for me. If I can just be me, I'm happy. And that's what this journey of 100 things and now helping people through kindness, that's what it's been. You know, I'm just being me and I accept myself. I love myself. I all those things. And I feel great. I'm really happy. I'm stoked. I'm so stoked on everything. I go to bed every night smiling. I feel good. I'm happy.
Yeah, you can actually tell that from your spirit, just being in your presence like that. That's a joy from within versus like a mask, so to speak. When you were going through this journey, and I want to actually point this out because it's interesting that you said it's selfish to focus on you.
Is that the question?
No. Oh, okay. So I was like actually going in one direction. My brain went in another way. But it's interesting that you say selfish to go inwards and deep dive. And I think that's a word that a lot of people use to say like, I'm going to focus on myself. But I actually think that that's one of the greatest things that you can do is to look inwards and uncover and discover who you are so that you can show up and be your authentic self and the greatest version of you for others.
Yeah, I completely agree. And so well put. You know, there's so many kind of analogies about the metaphors to life, but you know, you can't fill anyone else's cup up unless yours is full, right?
Yeah.
So I do a lot of speaking. This whole thing's been a wonderful accident, and you know, it's obviously doing good things, and I keep doing it because I enjoy it too. But I do a lot of speaking on stages around the world, and I one thing that I always talk about is this idea of you know, every time you get on a plane, they say put your oxygen mask on first before helping others. It's great to think, you know, if you apply that to life, you know. You know, they say be selfish, look after yourself. When you're okay, then help others. And it's so true. That's at least the arc for me. You know, the idea of helping other people sounds great and fantastic. And what a great person that person must be for helping others. But you'll only get so far if you're not feeling good. And, you know, you hear it from a lot of mothers, for example, who look after their kids for 18 years and completely forget about themselves.
Yep.
And it's so important not to lose your identity and to keep checking in to work out what your values are and who you are. So you have to know who you are. So I think being selfish, if that's the right word, yeah, there's probably a better word.
Yeah, that's the word I struggle with a little bit because it's almost like a negative connotation to it, but it's actually one of the most beautiful things to give to yourself. Yeah.
Well, it's an insult in our society. You're selfish. Exactly. And it's like, oh my God, I don't want to be so. You have to be selfish. It's your duty to you to be selfish. And I think that the sooner that you are selfish and you look after yourself and you do whatever it is that means to you, like you say, you can then be, you know, as an individual, you can be a better person for others around you. You're an inspiration for those close to you. Wow, that person's being themselves. Mm-hmm. They're achieving their personal goals. And then, you know, even in a bit, and by that, you're helping others. And then on a professional level, and I speak about this a lot too, but like, you know, as a company, as an organization, as a unit, a team, unless you look after yourselves, you're not going to be good for your customers or clients, et cetera. And I hate to talk corporate lingo, but yeah, it's just a very fundamental thought principle that applies to everything. You have to have your oxygen mask on first.
You've got to. So when you put your oxygen mask on, and you were discovering who is Seb, because that was a big part of your saying. You didn't know what your values were, who you were, all that stuff. What did you discover about you? Like, what were your big ahas that you saw that you didn't see before?
Well, I think because we're sort of conditioned to live a certain way, right? You know, school, further education, job, career, money, house, family, stuff, retire. Not to say that's wrong, but like if you don't step out of that just to have a little look at, oh, hang on, is this the right thing for me? Mm-hmm. You could end up living a whole life because that's how others have done it before you. We're so dynamic, you know, things have changed in recent times so much.
Yeah.
You can travel to the other side of the world, you know, instantly for pretty much no money. You can, you know, everything's changed. It's that our parents before us, their life was completely different, like depressions, wars that affected the globe of people. And now it's not quite the same. So I think I've sort of lost track of the question, but I tend to do this, by the way. I get really excited about answering a question and I have 7 things pop up and then I'm like, oh, what was the question? But anyway, what I discovered about myself was I gave myself permission. Mm. And I think that word permission is so important because not many people give it to you. Permission to think about yourself. And usually in our lives, we hear the stories in our society. It's people who lose someone close to them, almost lose their own life, have a dramatic, dark incident, event, experience in their life. And they're the people, if they're fortunate enough to survive, they're the people that you hear go and climb a mountain and write a book and propose and change career, go back to school, have a kid, learn to play harmonica. Why is it that it's only a dark moment that allows you to see that light? And the answer is it shouldn't be like that. Mm-hmm. It just shouldn't. And it all comes down to giving yourself permission. Just a split second decision to go, I'm going to give myself permission to think about myself. And when you do that, I think you start, you know, uncovering these things that are hidden in our subconscious or realizing things that we haven't learned yet. And that's the beginning of a list. And then I think, you know, at that point, it's just about a choice. You choose to pursue that. Mm-hmm. Before I started my list, I never chose to do that. I never gave myself permission. I completely underestimated myself. And so to answer your question, I'm realizing how capable I am.
Oof.
And it's the same for everyone. Yeah. I remember when I was working in my business, it was, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, it wasn't 24, but take out the sleep and it almost was. And, you know, and I was working, the business was working.
This is when you had the inflatable screen business, right?
Yeah.
Because not the business that you have right now.
No, not the business I have now. If you call what I have a business, I don't know. But yeah, no, back then, yeah, it was an inflatable movie script, like an events company basically. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, it worked. It didn't make a lot of money, but it worked. And it was because I just put all my energy into it. And I remember the turning point for me, I broke down in the back of a car, in a taxi home one night. I just was so upset. And I didn't realize. I just started crying. And
wait, can we tell the full story? Because I've actually listened in on this. You were at a restaurant with David.
Yeah. How do you know that? This is amazing.
Yeah. I know all this stuff. That's that incredible. You don't know that I know.
Yeah. No, so by that time I'd got my degree. I wasn't happy. My friend had passed away. At that point, I kind of, you know, happiness was this concept I thought about, and I actually created a list when he passed away. Mm. But I forgot about it because
you started on the list though after that.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I had this list, mm-hmm. but I kind of like thought, well, I can't, because I was just so conditioned by society. I can't just go and pursue a list. That makes no sense, right? Like that's what I believed. So I put it in a drawer and then started a business. And 2 years later, something like 2 years later, I broke down in the back of this car because I, you know, as you know, somehow, how you know, I had no money, and my mate Dave invited me, my best mate Dave invited me out for dinner. And I went because I had no money and I thought, well, at least I can get food. So I went and ate with Dave at this lavish restaurant. Everyone around him was so happy. Everyone was like swilling wine and, you know, chuckling and, you know, whatever they were talking about. And I was just super like unhappy. And I looked around and I thought, well, I don't even want to be here. I'm only here because I get free food. So I left. I was like, Dave, I've got to go. Thank you for the invite. I left halfway through my meal, got into a taxi, realized I hadn't no money. Went back in, asked Dave for $50 so I could get home. And I just felt like I just didn't know who I was. I was just living another life. I was living someone else's life, and I was better than that, I thought. So I started crying, went home. I got this list, this forgotten list of 100 things out of my drawer. For effect, I'll say there was cobwebs and dust on it, and I blew it off.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
That didn't happen, but you can imagine, right?
And then, I just did in my head, yes.
And then I went and got like a big map of the world. I stuck it the next morning from the local news agents, and I stuck it on my wall. I got the 100 sticky tags and put the 100 things on this wall map. And I remember looking up at the map, trying to work all day on my laptop. So my energy was typically in my laptop for work. And I kept looking up to the side, and I just couldn't. I stopped typing and I looked up at the thing, and I just thought, imagine if I put all the energy I'm putting into my business right now and I just redirected it towards my dreams, which was this map. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I could do that. I could do anything I want, actually. I could be happy. And that was a turning point for me. So long answer, but yeah, I realized I'm really capable, and I realized I'm as amazing as anyone in the world thinks they can be when they dream, and we all are.
Yeah. And that you actually give yourself permission to pursue your dream, because so often I think we do have these dreams inside of us. Like you said earlier, we're conditioned to actually live a whole other way because we think that's what it's supposed to be. And then you don't give yourself permission to actually go for what you want.
Completely.
So when you went for it, what was the first thing you did right after you're like, I'm going to start hitting this list again?
Well, I was doing a few things in Sydney. So I remember at that point, I'd actually already married a stranger in Las Vegas. And, like, and by the way, that's not representative of what this journey is now. A lot of people go, oh, that guy's a loser. You know, but I mean, yeah, look, it was pretty funny. It's legal in this country. Totally. It's hilarious. And
it was almost a stripper.
Yeah, it was almost a stripper. She stood me up. I had to marry someone else in the crowd. We didn't consummate the marriage. They're usually the questions I get. So yeah, but that was, you know, I'd done that already. I'd done some things in Australia. Like I'd gone on a game show. I went speed dating. I lived on the streets of Sydney for a week, stuff like that. And then I went overseas, and then very quickly, LA was my first stop. I ended up going to Burning Man. I ended up, which, you know, everyone does now, of course.
Yes.
I wanted to challenge a world champion. So I took on the world's number one paintball player, Ollie Lang. I was just severely bruised and painted after that. So that, yeah, it was just, oh no, I visited an inmate on death row. That was one of the first things I did in Oklahoma.
So this is interesting to me because like some of the things I get, if you're going, all right, I want to experience happiness. I'm going to get it from doing these things, right? But like, what did you think how it was going to bring you happiness? One, visiting an inmate, but two, the being homeless for a week. Like, wow. I don't understand how that translated.
I think for me, it was just experiences. I felt very shackled before the list. I'd been very kind of like sheltered growing up. I was too shy to explore myself, to explore the world. So a lot of it was, you know, there's like an analogy someone was telling me once about that. There's like, I don't know, I'm going to make up. Now this is going to sound ridiculous. Are you going to cut this out?
Do it.
There's, I don't know why, but in my head there's seven blind people and, why seven, who knows, but there's an elephant in the middle of them all. They're standing in a circle and, someone says, touch the part of the elephant in front of you and tell me what an elephant looks like. And one blind guy is like, okay, well, he feels his trunk. He's like, oh, it's kind of like long and fleshy and a bit squidgy. And then another one like feels it's like, you know, hoof. And he's like, oh, do elephants have hoofs? What I mean? Their foot. Yeah.
Yep.
Their hoof. And he was like, well, an elephant is, you know, it's like hard and it's got like a nail on the end and whatever. And then another gets a tie and it's like, it's kind of, oh, it feels like hair. The point is, it actually takes all those experiences, all the different perspectives to, as a whole, realize what the elephant looks like, not just the individual one. And I think that's what it was for me. I didn't know what happiness looked like, but I was trying as many different things as I could. So, you know, I would see myself on the streets of Sydney and I would experience that. And then I would go and deliver a baby, which was on my list. And that's another experience altogether. Yeah. And then I would do stand-up comedy, or I would, you know, walk across France. Completely different things, obviously. But, you know, I'm noticing as this is all happening that, oh, wow, my happiness isn't actually tied to individual things. Who cares? Do you care? No one really cares if I walk across France. Who cares? But, like, you know, at the end of the day, all those things actually help and just everything just adds a little bit of perspective. And then I think, at some point, I've done 72 things on my list now and now I've stopped to help people. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point, I kind of had a really, you know, I back to the blind, seven blind people, whatever. I don't even know why there were seven of them, but it seems like a lot of blind people to be in one spot.
Yes. And could all seven tell you the entire elephant?
Because they communicate at the end, right?
Okay.
Yes, they talk and then they come up with like this. So yeah, so I was, you know, I was having my own little like seven blind person experience with an elephant. Which sounds so weird.
Maybe you need 100 blind people because that was their thing. You have 100.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, I'm trying to make sense. I don't know the answers. I'm still learning. Like, in 5 years, I could look back at this interview and be like, oh my God, what an idiot. Oh, I can't believe you said that. But yeah, I feel I'm on track.
What did staying on the streets teach you?
So yeah, I was on the streets of Sydney for 7 days in my own city, just seeing it from, of course, a different perspective again. Right. Mm-hmm. I just walked into the middle of Sydney, with nothing, no phone, no ID, just the clothes on my back. And, you know, I went into a drop-in shelter and I said, look, I'm new at this. How can I do it? And they kind of gave me a bit of a rundown. I met obviously a lot of people who are marginalized. I learned a lot about that, the marginalization of people and why they're there. And in Australia, there's a lot of like mental health issues and no one really to look after them. It's just such a bizarre system. It doesn't work. I felt part of a community. I certainly, you know, there was a big community there and I was very much on the outside, but, you know, I saw it. People care for each other. It's dangerous out there. It's no different to anything else. I think like whether you're homeless or whether you're living in a house, we're all the same. We're all people with insecurities. We're all people who want to connect. We long to be seen. We long to be heard. Doesn't matter if you, yeah, we do. So I, you know, I don't know. I had people care for me on the streets. And I, you know, I had people abuse me on the streets. And it's no difference to, like, you know, walking down here at Abbot Kinney in Venice, like, you know, as someone who has, you know, clothes and a place to stay now, like, it's, you know, it's all the same. There's no difference. Life's just a giant schoolyard to me. And yeah. Anyway, I'm being a little bit.
Have you always seen it that way? Because here's what's interesting. Some of the things that you mentioned that you did, I think would scare people to actually do.
Yeah.
Did any of this stuff freak you out, or were you just like,
no? Of course, everything. That's why I did it. I think you have to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. For me, unless I'm nervous, if I'm not nervous, I'm not doing the right thing. The perspective thing, you try something and you're met with anxiety and fear, and you get sweaty and your heartbeat rises, all those things. And when you then take the step forward into that, whatever mm-hmm. that is, you know, playing a song on stage in front of people that you've written that was on my list, I completely fearful. But only once you do it and you kind of see yourself in that moment, and then afterwards you have a learning from that and you're like, huh, I am capable of that. You know, like I can actually work and execute things, even though it petrifies me. And then that, you know, your comfort zone expands a little bit and you become more capable.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it's,
No, what would you tell somebody then? Because I know there have been moments in my life, even where it's like conceptual, you get it and you still can't push yourself to go. And other people, the same thing, where it's like, we get it, get yourself out of your comfort zone. However, the terror barrier is like that freaking scary that people become paralyzed, right? Or they find some sort of excuse to then avoid and not do the thing. What would you tell people if they're hitting the terror barrier hard and they're like, oh, I can't, that you're like, go? Like, what had you break through even when you were freaking scared out of your mind?
Well, me.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Like, it's you. We're the only people holding ourselves back. Mm-hmm. It's not exterior. Yes, there are environmental things. Yes, we can have bad luck. Something shitty can happen to us. But it's purely our response to that. That's what actually matters, not the event. It's your response. You know, one person can respond very positively. Somebody can respond negatively to the same thing. And the outcomes are very different, yet their stories, you know, how it all happened are the same. If you're fearful, if you're on the cusp and you're a bit scared of taking that leap, do it. Just do it. You can't, because if you picture a triangle, right, and you've got belief at the top, then action, and then result, right? This is very kind of like workshoppy. I do workshops, but your belief is like negative, for example, fearful, pessimistic about the world, people aren't good. You will act in that way. You'll leave your house, you won't look at people, you won't smile, you'll be pessimistic. And then the result is you go home at night, you're like, oh, well, the world is kind of negative. And that'll reinforce your belief at the top of the triangle. And it's kind of like very habit forming. Mm-hmm. So how do you change that? Which I think is the question you're asking me. Mm-hmm. If you're fearful, like, how do you change something? Well, it's hard to change a belief just straight off the bat. Oh, I suddenly do believe in whatever. It's hard. You can't change a result. The only thing you really change is the action. So that pessimistic person, if they say, well, look, I'm just going to go out and smile at one person. So their belief is the same, but they go out and act differently and they smile and they get a smile back. And the result is, huh, oh, the world isn't quite that bad. Hang on, that's interesting. And it slightly untangles their belief again. If you go back to the top of the triangle, and that's kind of how you unwind it. So you just got to go for it. It's as simple as that. And it's scary and confronting because a lot of people want to blame it on other things. Oh, I can't do that because of, society or my parents or my boss or whatever. But it's you. It's absolutely us. And I get it now. You know, it's very nice that you're interviewing me as if I'm some sort of source of reasoning and knowledge. Like, you know, to a degree, I'm just sharing what I think I know, but, you know, I have it still. Like, I'm single and I'm still kind of like shy around girls, especially, you know, girls I like, and I'm not drinking. And that's a big mask, right? For, you know, everyone gets drunk and like that's
get
you
put
your
drink.
Yeah. You dare to put your arm around you. Mm-hmm. And I don't do, you know, I do dance terribly, but I don't have the excuse of alcohol. So, you know, that I'm terrified. So it was just like a little boy on a bloody dance floor at school. And it's like that going along and trying to talk to the pretty girl or the girl you find. And so I face it every day. Everyone faces these little things, whether it's speaking to the girl or the boy you like, or saying something to your boss or trying skydiving or whatever. It's always up to us. There's no one else. We are so, we are so accountable for what we do in our lives. And I think this journey of mine, which has been going on for about 10 years, has just kind of now, I don't know, showing me that it's, you know, everything is because of me. I'm sure the greater community help, of course, but yeah, every decision I make is because of me.
Oh, And I love that you say that, because I 100% am in alignment with what you said. We are 100% at the cause of our life. Every result that we have, every experience that we create is because of us, what we believe, and how we show up in the world or don't show up. And then we get to be right about whatever we believe, like you said.
Yeah.
Reinforces, right?
Yeah.
With this whole thing with approaching the pretty girl, are you doing it in spite of the fear?
Yeah, well, I always did. Yeah. I remember, like, because I like trying things. I'm not typically attached to the outcome of stuff. Mm. So
have you always been that way?
Kind of. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm intrinsically shy, so which not many people believe, but I think I certainly was. And then I remember, like, when I was younger, I mean, reference to the pretty girls, you know, I'd go over, I'd see a girl who I thought was attractive for whatever reason. And I would go, oh my God, I'm so nervous. All right, I'm just going to go and say so. And I would force myself to do it. I didn't care what she said. I really didn't. And, you know, whether I got shot down in a, you know, a burning flame of glory, or whether she was like, great, let's catch up, it didn't matter. I just wanted to try. And so now, I mean, it's just actually really interesting. What's the answer? No, now I talk to these pretty girls. I don't know how to, this has become therapy. Hang on, what am I trying to say? My point is, I'm still nervous. Yeah, I'm still nervous, and but I go for it. I just go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like the key in life. If you want to experience more fulfillment and expansion, is like, go for it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, and whatever noise is in your mind, can you quiet it down or just go shut up for a second? And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone, you're drawn to those people too. Like, say you're, you know, at a party and there's no one dancing, and someone gets up and they just start dancing in the middle, and everyone goes, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, the person who puts a hand up in a conference and asks a question to the person who's on stage. Everyone thinks, oh, I want to ask a good question. Mm-hmm. We all want to, and we all can. There's no difference. We're all the same. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. We all have our minds to think and to come up with, you know, beliefs and thoughts and whatever. And we all have our bodies, whatever they can, can't do. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. We naturally want to do stuff. And when we see other people doing it, we want to be like that.
Totally. And I think the only thing that separates us, the only thing that is different, is what we believe about ourselves and the world, which actually most people, from all the work that I do in coaching hypnosis, you realize it's actually quite similar. Most people really struggle with the deep core wounding of, I feel like I'm not lovable, or I don't belong, or I'm not enough. So it's pretty similar, but whatever the limitation is what would hold you back. Cause like the person who gets out on the dance floor, it's just because their belief, they don't have a weird belief about getting on the dance floor and shaking their butt, even if they are good or are not good. That's the only thing that makes them different in that instance. So it's like, if you just are willing to shift your thought for a second.
Completely.
Or tell yourself something different in that moment. Like, actually it might be fun to be the first person to run out there and just do whatever the heck I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing thing. And I think you can do it in every single aspect of your life. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be the first person on a dance floor, but you could be someone who, you know, you could sing louder in the shower. You know, it's just small things. Like I try and do things that make me like nervous all the time. From the outside, the perception is, what I've heard is, well, Seb can do this because, you know, he's like, and this is not what I think about myself, just so we're clear, but I've heard it. Seb's bulletproof. He's invincible. He can do anything. He's got all the confidence in the world, blah, blah, blah. And that's not true. I have the exact same fears, the exact same apprehensions, anxiety, doing something. But I just kind of act anyway. And so there are little things outside. Like if I go to this is stupid, but if I go to an event, I have like, in Australia, speedos are referred to as budgie smugglers. For anyone who's listening who might know me,
do you wear them?
Yeah, but they're super colorful, like very distasteful, like prints and like whatever, you know, pinks and green. And so I will sometimes wear them with a robe from the hotel out to the evening functions, and just for fun, because I'm nervous. I want to try it. And just, why not? Why do I have to wear shoes? And I don't really wear shoes, by the way. Why do I have to wear shoes and pants and a t-shirt and a jacket? Why?
Why?
That you don't need to.
No.
And so I like just doing that. And I suppose from the outside, like some people, you know, I don't do surveys on the reaction, but like, I suppose some people be like, what a loser. Like, that guy's just peacocking. He's trying to be seen. It's got nothing to do with that. I really am just doing it for myself. Selfishly, I'm doing it for myself just to see that I can do it. And I feel really liberated afterwards.
Ooh, that's a good word, liberation. It's good. Just doing things just to see if you can do them.
Yeah.
And the moment you do, you realize the noise in your head wasn't even true.
Yeah. Oh, completely. So when I do these workshops, I'm like, hey, I get one to dress up in costume. Mm-hmm. I'm like, go outside and buy someone a coffee. And they're like, oh no, I can't. And it's, you know, again, everyone gets a little bit nervous, a little tight in the chest. They go out and do it. They do this thing, even though they're scared. They come back and everyone's like, wow, isn't life fun? People actually smiled at me. I created a connection and experience for others. Life should be a carnival, and it should.
I love that. So in your journey, you said that you were uncovering more of who you were and you discovered yourself in the process of ticking things off your list. Two questions. First is, what if some people struggle to even figure out what it is that they want? Because I ask that question quite often, especially if I first start with somebody. I'm like, well, what is it that you want? And I know that people know deep down inside, but their quick reaction is the IDK, right? Like, I don't know. Mm. And then I can, with some still, I'll like keep going and keep going, but they, because they've never been asked that question or they've never actually looked inside to discover, they feel stuck. What would you tell people if they're inspired, they're listening to this and they're like, okay, I want to come up with even a list of 10, maybe they can't get to 100, but they're stuck on, I can't even think of number one. Mm. What would you tell them?
Well, I'd say, come do my workshop. I wouldn't say that. I mean, you can, but that's not what I would say. What makes you happy? There's a million ways of framing this, right? If your only challenge for the day was to go to bed feeling good, what would you do? If money, that there was no value, the money didn't matter anymore, what would you do? If you could do anything in the world and it was possible, or what, as in nothing is impossible, yep, what would you do? You know, like I just think those, you know, a lot of it's family orientated, a lot of it's relationship based. I'd tell my dad I love him. I'd say sorry to somebody. It's not necessarily jumping out of a plane, right?
It's or getting married for a day.
It's not getting married for the day. And neither should it be. The only thing that matters is it's relevant to you. You know, like I think our lists are based on our values. So I think, you know, ultimately, if we understand our values, the list will come. Like when I started my list, it was all about exploration and adventure and this unshackling and, you know, breaking out and going rah. And so mine was very kind of, like, you know, things I've mentioned, jumping out of a plane nude, walking.
Wait, what?
Oh, did I not say that? Oh, yeah.
I also said you brought your list so we can hear everything, unless you know.
I actually have.
Do you have it?
I do. I've got a. Here.
On your phone? I'm guessing.
So. No. I've got my. I have a book. This is actually. I didn't bring it for this, so I'm not going to. This is not a plug for my book, but my list happens to be in here.
Go get Seb's book.
Oh, you should.
I mean, on Amazon.com.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to, okay, so I put like $1,000 on black. I was in a Bollywood movie. I street performed. I was busking for the day. I did, you know, Burning Man, help a stranger, ministered a wedding, a week of silence, join a protest. It was all experiential stuff. And that was because I just wanted to experience stuff. And now 10 years, because our values change, right? I'm very different to what I was at the beginning of this journey 10 years ago. I'll be completely different again in 10 years time. Right now, it's not about that kind of adventure and liberation anymore. It's like, I'm really into connection and trying to, you know, meaningfully activate kindness. And hopefully we'll get to talk about this a little bit too.
Yeah.
So I don't know, if someone's looking to start their list, just start with what would make you smile. Mm. What could be more important, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Or go get Seb's book and be inspired by
it. Yeah, yeah.
What page was that?
Oh gosh, yeah. I hate talking about that stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, my book might help for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's go there. I mean, with this, because I remember when you were telling me about Kindsome, which at first you said it was like speed dating for, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
When we were at your place, I was like, that sounds a little, obviously it sounds like it shifted.
Yeah.
But number 26, was that the help a stranger?
Yeah, number 26 was help a stranger. It was the most pivotal thing that's ever happened in my life, really.
Yeah.
You know, we were like very much on par with this, how 100 Things started. That was of course pivotal. But this just changed the trajectory of it. Number 26 was help a stranger. I got approached by a guy in Australia who saw me on TV and he sent me his list of 150 things that he had created. And he said, can you come and shave my head? So this guy was called Mark. I didn't know him. I went and shaved Mark's head, found out that he was a quadriplegic. He was completely able-bodied, got bitten by a tick though, and contracted Lyme's disease.
What?
Yeah. And very short, I think it was like less than 6 months, turned into a quadriplegic, can't talk, ventilator to sleep at night, to stay alive at night, a 24-hour care team. And as I was shaving his head, I thought I can do so much more than this. And I said, what can I do? And I couldn't understand him. It was very much a slur. And he said to his carer that he wanted to complete a half marathon. And I looked at him and I said, how can I help you? And he looked at me and said, push me. And that was it. I didn't know what that would do to my life, but I said yes. There's nothing more I wanted to do. I just became obsessed with the idea. Signed us up for the Melbourne Half Marathon in Australia. Mm-hmm. And soon after, I pushed Mark in his wheelchair with some other people who joined me. And so, I mean, this sort of gives context as to what's happening now. So, of course, you know, me helping people, for me, I've never felt better. I just haven't. The idea of we're no longer being selfish, but selfless. Mm-hmm. I had my oxygen mask on, and now, in some way, I guess, is I'm able to help other people with their oxygen mask. Mm-hmm. And so that you know, of course, that just became entirely addictive. And I just started helping people who, you know, I was getting approached by all these people who needed help, and I stopped my list, and you know, with little resource other than time and care and energy, which I have lots of, I would do whatever I could do to help these people. And there were lives saved. There were, you know, I was at a lot of last wish stuff as well. People just want to talk on the phone. I was calling people and saying hello. And then it got turned into this reality show here in the US called 100 Things. 26 episodes. I helped 26 people. Sounds really cool, right? Like you're smiling like, oh, well done.
Yeah.
But it's not because the show was cool, but for every one person we helped, there were just far more who I couldn't help. Mm-hmm. We had to say no to. So I wasn't sure what to do. And then all these other people started contacting me saying, can we help you help people? I was like, oh, that's interesting. On one side, all these people are telling me they need help. On the other side, all these other people are saying they want to help people. I just mm-hmm. need to connect them. And so that was, of course, the beginning of this idea that I should create an online platform similar to an online dating site, but people would meet to actually engage in acts of kindness. Mm-hmm. So you could go. So it's been built now. That was 18 months ago, and now it's live. It's called Kindsome.
Mm-hmm. And that's some S-U-M,
S-U-M,
guys, if you check it out. I want you to tell a story, which was so interesting, of how your site got built.
How my site got built? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's epic. So,
that's so awesome.
Well, it's funny. So I'm not business minded at all. Like I'm just going, you know, you probably tell. So I came to America just because I thought, well, that would be a cool place. People are like really supportive over there. Everyone's trying to do stuff. People are very fearless here, and a good idea can just go pop and work. So I came over just to kind of learn and see what would happen. I just trust in people. I trust that the right thing would work mm-hmm. out. A lot of people wanted to invest money into what I was up to. A lot of brands, a lot of people wanted to get involved. Blah, blah, blah. It all became very businessy. How much money? How are we going to drive revenue? And there were a few good ideas. But then it became less about helping people. And, you mm-hmm. know, at one point someone said, what's your exit strategy? And I was like, what do you mean exit strategy? This thing doesn't even exist. I don't care about an exit. I just want to create it. So I thought, well, I'm just going to do it myself. So I made that decision. I'm just going to build this myself. I don't know how yet. Then a guy called Chris Redlitz from San Francisco contacted me, and he runs a program called The Last Mile. And The Last Mile teaches inmates in San Quentin prison how to code, mm-hmm. how to program. And he said, would you come and do a talk for these guys just about life and whatever? And I said, of course, definitely. Like, what an amazing experience. So I went up into San Quentin prison. I spoke to...
Wait. Who were the other speakers?
Oh, yeah. That was funny too. I go, who else is speaking? And he goes, well, we've got Mark from Facebook. Just Mark.
You know, the Zuck.
Yeah. We've got Steph Curry mm-hmm. and Lance Armstrong.
And then you, Seb.
And then me, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I went up, and it was just unbelievable. Spent the day there, met these inmates. During my talks, by the way, I often ask the crowd, like, what's on your list? Share with me some goals. And people, if I speak, so I do corporate speaking pretty much, and one person, two people might put their hands up, a third if we're lucky. In the prison, I don't know, let's just say there was 50 people. There's probably around about 50 people. Every single one put their hand up. Wow. And so I basically stopped the talk, and we just had a conversation. One black dude wanted to meet the head of the Ku Klux Klan to just understand his thoughts, why he does what he does. Another one wanted to be a YouTube star. Another one wanted to start a family. Another guy said, well, I'm actually running a marathon in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, you're getting let out. And he's like, no, I'm going to do 122 laps of the prison yard. Everyone has dreams. We are dreamers. Everyone is a dreamer. Doesn't matter if you're behind bars or in front of the bars, if that's the mm-hmm. opposite. So that was cool. And then at the end of the talk, I was in there for hours, and four inmates came up and they said, hey, that site you're talking about, the kindness thing, we'd like to build that for you. And it was just like, bang, like a sledgehammer, of course. So they built it for me. So four inmates who are currently incarcerated in San Quentin prison, still at this moment, are that they have made this site and they've given it to me. And I believe innately we all want to help people. We all have the ability. We all have the desire. But the one thing we can't find is the opportunity. We don't know where to act, you know, how to really give in a personal way. Yeah, typically now it's writing a check and donating X amount of dollars to a charity, which is great, but I think there's a far better way to do it that really benefits people on a personal, you know, with social media, we're getting so drawn away from each other.
Totally.
So this idea of, you know, really connecting people personally. So anyway, one of the inmates, Aaron, his name is, he's leaving in 5 months, and his first wish on the outside is to use Kindsome, the site that he created on the inside, to help somebody on the outside.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's so real. Like,
that
it's
so awesome.
Every day something amazing happens. Like right now, there's a girl in LA who like needs a kidney. She's on dialysis. She's got end stage renal failure. And she's on a, you know, 5 years is roughly the time frame of being able to survive on dialysis. She's on a wait list for a kidney, which is sort of 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. So very much, in her words, it's very much a death sentence, right? So she needs a kidney. So I promoted that. She signed up, shared it on Kindsome. And now it looks as though we've got maybe somebody to donate a kidney. So not quite confirmed. So like, you know, it's that serious. Today, I promoted a guy who his son at 18 years old committed suicide, and he's left with a 14-year-old son and a daughter, and he promised his younger son that he would make a treehouse for him as some kind of way of helping with the loss, right? Only thing is he doesn't know how to build a treehouse, which is super cute. So he's just gone on there and said, hey, I need help building a treehouse. So he's promoted it. And now today we're getting messages from people saying, I'll come up and help build. I'm going to donate some supplies, you know, and Yeah, people are good. We just want an opportunity, and that's what this is about.
Oh, this is so amazing. Guys, you definitely have to check out Kindsome. I love the mission, and I'm totally going to see how I can support. And obviously, even through this podcast, everybody's listening. It's one way to spread the word, but I will also get my hands in the dirt.
No,
I think
great.
That's the key thing, not just spreading the word. But actually, when you hop in and do the act of kindness, right, and you get to be on the ground, because that was... Ever since I was a little girl, I've always loved giving back. I don't know if it was an innate thing. I actually got turned away from volunteering at the SPCA because I was too young.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's in my like DNA to give back. And it's just what you get to receive from giving. But really, I think when people start to doubt themselves and they don't feel good about who they are, they feel like they don't have much to contribute. The moment you just do something kind for another person, you actually realize what a gift you truly are on this planet.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be something massive. You don't have to donate the kidney unless if you have one.
Yeah.
An extra, go ahead. But it's even just the small things that make a huge difference for some people.
100%. I mean, to your point, you could call somebody who's lonely and change their life. You could save a life by talking to somebody.
100%.
And we all have that ability, right? And I think there are so many, like to your point of feeling good, it's completely secular, you know? Somebody who needs help is brave, because I think there's a lot of bravery involved to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, I need help. They just put that out into the world. I need help. That creates an opportunity that didn't exist before for, let's say, you to look at that and go, there's an opportunity. I'm going to do that. And because you're here to help. We are here to help. Mm-hmm. And without the person being brave, you don't get to do it. Yeah. And so it's a perfect like synergy or symbiotic kind of relationship. I give an opportunity, you help. And at the end of the day, we're connected. We both feel seen. We both feel valuable. We both feel that we've contributed in some kind of way. Yeah. And I also think like to the point of charity, it's great donating money and all that sort of stuff. And you need money, of course, to research cancer and whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, it's not that personal. You know, you donate, I've worked with a lot of charities and they're all fantastic, I should say. But you know, you donate money and you hope it goes to the right place. And, you know, at the end of the day, you don't know who it goes to. It might not even go to somebody. It might just go to a program which is awesome. But if you see someone like on the street next to you and they drop a bag of, it's an old lady and she drops a bag of groceries and you go over and you pick up the apples and you pick up the milk and you put it in the other bag she has and she looks at you and says thank you and you hug her, that is unparalleled. You cannot get that in any other way. And certainly when, well, I mean, that's a spontaneous example, but certainly like Another one I just got on Kindzoom. Yeah. A lady called Katie has just shared the story of her mum. Her mum almost died recently. She survived, but she's in hospital recovering. She's going to be in there for 3 months, I think. She's very down in the dump. She feels depressed. She loves music. She misses music. And so she's put on Kindzoom if a musician would be interested in going in to play her a song. And so, and I'm sure people listening now are like, I'll do it. Like, I would do it. I would do it too.
Yeah. I don't play, but I would go in and pretend.
I'm sure we could get a
dance.
Huge, dance. If I did it, she'd be more depressed. But like, you know, I think that, you know, that personal connection, going in and doing it, and again, feeling of value, and it's great. Yes, you get something back and you feel great for helping. That's not selfish. That's perfect. Everyone's getting helped.
Yep.
There's no downside to it. There's so many, like, you know, scientifically, that, you know, chemically our bodies change. Endorphins, is beautiful. You know a lot more about this than I do, so I'll be quiet. But a lot of positive things. Psychologically, like you feel excited, you feel energetic, you feel, you know, important, you feel like you have a friend. Oh, I mean, I speak really loud when I get excited. I'm so excited about this.
Love it. Yeah. Go loud. Yeah, and I love it. It's like, again, if you want those natural endorphins, go do good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes perfect sense why, Seb, you go to bed happy and wake up happy, because what you've committed your life to is something so purposeful and that you're doing good all the time, which is, it's extraordinary. And I wanted, this has been in my brain that I wanted to point out from what you said before. You're like, all right, I'm going to put this thing together. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just, and it's like this level of trust that you have that I've just been observing, even as you've been telling your stories. Mm. You're like, I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm just going to try it. And then it's so amazing to see how things unfold when you have a level of willingness to leap when you can't see what's below you, and that trust and what keeps showing up to support you. Like, did you ever think that inmates in prison are going to code your site? Like, it blows my mind.
No, not until they offered. But that's the thing. I don't think you have to know how things are going to work out. You just have to know
the what.
Or the why, right?
And go.
Yeah. And I think if you understand why something is intrinsically, fundamentally, primarily important to you, if you just know that whatever that goal is, it's so deeply rooted and important to you, and you go, I don't even care, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to try, I'm going to pull the trigger, the world shows up.
Yeah.
People show up, events show up, things happen. And we go, oh, it's crazy. You wouldn't believe it. I really wanted to do this thing. And then I met a guy literally around the corner and he offered me to do the thing. Wow, isn't the world... it's not magic. That's how things work.
Yeah.
The law of attraction and all that kind of stuff. However you want to explain it, it just happens. It's not only for the brave. It's not only for the faint heart. It's not for the lucky people. It's for everyone. You just have to take a leap.
Yeah. Decide, take the leap, and then... net will appear.
Completely.
And I think, so all the people and everything else.
Yeah, and it's opportunity essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Like, an opportunity will either, you can either attract an opportunity by being really proactive, which is great, or an opportunity will just come to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I'm getting confused, but either you can attract it or you can create it, basically. And either way, they both work, but you just have to know what it is you want to do.
Totally.
And then when it's there, jump into it.
Woo! I love it.
Mm.
So good.
I'm excited.
Be like Seth. Yeah, no, I'm excited too. This is a really energizing conversation for me, because I love when we break the mold in our own mind of what's possible and the willingness to just like go for it and start to like, and when you do, you start to really see what you're capable of. Like, your potential is so limitless. Nobody knows what our potential is. I don't know what your full potential is, you know, because you can keep doing things and I'm like, whoa, it's amazing. It's just a matter of willingness to expand and see where our potential can take us.
Yeah. You can't stand on the start line and pretend you know how you're going to get to the finish. You don't even know what the finish is.
No.
You've just got to, you know, twists and turns, and you only see what's around the corner by getting to the corner and then looking around. So like, I find it hilarious that, you know, people have this idea that they know what life is about or how it works. And, you know, I do this because it gives me security. There is no security.
No.
There's nothing. It's chaos out there.
Totally.
But it's beautiful. And yeah. If you learn to work with that, anything's possible.
Yeah. Yes. This is just a random thought, because especially going to what you said, you have no idea. Like, today there's fires in Malibu.
Yep.
And one of my very dear friends has a beautiful home in Malibu, and she had to evacuate. And, you know, I'm sure she never thought, oh, when I buy this beautiful home up here, that one day it could burn down or I'm going to need to evacuate. So again, you have no idea the twists and turns. That was just speaking to what you just shared, but it's just the willingness to go, trust, leap, and let everything else like fall into place. Cause I really do believe that there's a divine order to everything. Mm-hmm. And if you are so pure in your intention and you just go for something good, it's like, that's truly when the magic appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's kind of I'm listening to your life and I didn't, you know, all my little research, and that's exactly that's the flow for you, Seb. Like you're just willing to follow your heart and do good and get out of your comfort zone and take the leap and trust and
It's just your response, I think. And to that, you know, like I found out about the Malibu thing, of course, today, and it's horrible. Thousand Oaks, right?
Yeah.
But it's everywhere now.
You're right.
And, so I've put that on the Kindsome, you know, social media. So if there's anyone out there who needs help, let us know. And, you know, I there are people out there who just need water. People who just need, I was researching it today. People out there who just need accommodation. Maybe by the time this airs, you know, it's all sorted, but really simple things. Like people are like, oh, I need to get my horses from here to here. I need to travel from here to here to save something in my house. Like, you know, and we can all do that, but we don't know quite how to help them. So
yeah.
Sorry, I'm kind of making that selfishly about Kindsome again. I didn't mean to do that.
No,
but more so the idea that, again, it's just another example that we can actually help people in substantial ways with simple acts. It could be today going to Malibu and providing water to people, you know?
Yeah, so good. All right, Seb, I've got a few more questions for you.
Okay, sounds serious.
I have to close this out. What's something unique about you that most people don't know?
Most people don't know. I like singing and I play ukulele.
Okay.
Mm. No.
Why didn't you bring it?
Because because you would probably say, can you play a song for us?
I absolutely would. Are you a mind reader?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
All right. So you're not, I mean, this is just this is not helpful for anyone. I don't get into dark places. I really don't. And I know people probably go, that's rubbish. I don't. I think the one thing since moving to LA, I moved here a year and a half ago, is like maybe a little bit of loneliness along the way. But you know, I guess the long-term solution to that is just finding good people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't speak to depression. I can't. Yeah.
Never have doubt or feel.
Well, I have doubt.
Negative or sad or any of that stuff.
Well, I mean, I want to say no, but that's probably, it just sounds a ridiculous answer. No, I don't know. I live on purpose and I can always go to that as my safety net. So if I've had, you know, like, you know, whether it's a relationship that's gone sour or, you know, even an interaction or a conversation or an opportunity that's gone, I kind of have this belief that nothing actually matters. We all think everything matters. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
You could die today.
Yeah.
So not that that makes me like, you know, not really appreciative of everything, but, and important matters and love and you know, whatever. But, I don't know. I'm never really that down. I feel like such an idiot saying that, but I'm not really. But I think on the moments where I kind of do go in that direction, let's say, I just remember what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Mm. And I realize there's only so many things I can control and it's my response. And so, yeah. But when I am in those places, I also accept it and just sit in it. I don't try and run from it. I just kind of go, huh, what is this?
Yeah. So I think that's it. Just accepting and sitting in it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Instead of resisting.
I should have asked you. You would have given a better answer, wouldn't you?
No, not at all. Not at all. And everybody's got their own practice with that. But I think, you know, and I just love asking that question because you never know who's listening, where they might be resisting and go, oh, wait, Seb said just sit with it and accept it and just see what happens. And they can try it out and it could be the very thing that moves them through that moment.
Mm.
Yeah. But I mean, you also said earlier, you're like, I don't really get attached to things or, you know, outcomes. And so that's probably why you don't really get yourself into that space as much too. Cause a lot of times we get hooked into these ideas of what we think it should be or how we should be. And then it takes us into darker spaces.
Yeah. A lot easier said than done. I mean, I of course am attached to things, but I try not to be. Mm-hmm. But even like, again, with Kindsome, like, I don't know. I think it could change the world.
I know it will.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
But if it doesn't do anything else, it's fine. I completely tried. I completely believed and I completely exercised and exhausted all my creativity and energy towards something that I love.
Mm.
What could be better than that? But I think it will change the world.
Yeah, I do too. I love Jay Shetty. You know who he is?
Yeah.
I just recently discovered him and I'm like obsessed.
He shared something of mine on his channels.
Did he really?
A talk of mine. Yeah. And it got like, I can't even remember, 5 or 10 million views. I'm still trying to go through the messages I got from it.
Wow.
Sorry, I do know Jay Shetty.
Yeah, no, love him. He said something recently, which I loved. He's like, if you have a passion, if your passion is married with doing something good in the world, that equals purpose. Mm. And I just see that for you. It's like you have such a passion for spreading kindness. Mm. And I think when you were first sharing it with me, you're like scaling it. Mm. You're like, how do I scale kindness in a global way and maximize it? And I think that's so amazing. But that is your purpose because you're mixing those two.
Yeah.
All right, Seb. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Well, 10-year-old self, like I was such a late bloomer. I didn't know anything. I would say, don't be scared, be yourself, explore, be open-minded, make mistakes, try. It was a very odd kind of like random shotgun approach of advice, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe that.
And last one.
Yes.
Go talk to that girl, that pretty girl.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Good one. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So I had to bring it full circle.
I needed that. Yeah. As I reached for my phone.
Where can people connect with you?
Okay. So Seb100Things is my like primary kind of like Instagram thing.
Yep.
Kindsum, KINDSUM. That's across all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, etc. Kindsum. KINDSUM.com is the site, of course, for helping. So it's like a, you know, it's matchmaking essentially, for kindness, acts of kindness. So if you need, if anyone's listening who needs help or you know somebody who needs help, go to the site and share their story, nominate. It's a really quick process. I'm currently looking for people to share their stories because everyone wants to help. I've got so many people who want to help and I'm just trying to gather really meaningful, non-financial stories, or goals, etc. So yeah, that's that. And 100things.com.au is the site, which is like the online community of people out chasing their goals.
That's so cool.
Or if you see me, just say hello in person. That's always a good way to connect.
When Seb's riding his bike on his way to the ocean to go surf.
Yeah.
Next time I see you, I've seen you pass by once before. Zip. And then next time I'm like, Seb.
I just got this electric bike.
Did you?
It's the best thing I've ever bought in the world. I just feel like a child. It's brilliant. Oh, so good. I'm a child. I just realized I'm just a giant child. So happy with my bike and surfing. Oh, dear.
That's the best.
Sorry, I keep stopping the end of this show, don't I?
No, it's not over
yet. Oh, okay. Oh, good.
We've got another 2 hours to go.
Fantastic.
Okay,
I'm
perfect.
In.
Seb, thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your heart, and doing such good things for the world and for others. Here's your favorite word. I'm really inspired.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
But it truly is an inspiration that you, you know, are really committed to doing good. And I can see that. And I know that. And it's, you're not making it this big business thing and finding your exit plan. Like it's, there's so much purity from your heart, which I know that is why this is going to change the world. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so are you ready to create your bucket list? Now, of course, you want to include how you can give back on there because as Sebastian and I talked about, when you're giving and in contribution or when you're in service, that is when you experience true success and fulfillment. Now, it's really important to take the time to map out and define what you want to do and who you want to be in your life so that you can fully live. You know, so often we are just going about our days on automatic and we're just surviving rather than being intentional to create what it is that we want and to thrive. So if you need to, I highly encourage you to take the time to get clear and think of all the things that you want to do in this lifetime. So whether you think it's possible or not, or if it scares you or excites you, if you feel it in your soul, you want to write it down and go for it. Because I hope hearing Sebastian's incredible and inspiring story that it showed you what's absolutely possible when you do. Now, if you've got any fears or blocks that are holding you back from even say, wanting to create this list, or anything that's holding you back from being, doing, having, or going after what it is that you want, and you want a little support to get out of your own way so that you can manifest all your magic, then you definitely want to check out my self-hypnosis course called Believe. Now, in this badass self-hypnosis mastery course, I show you a powerful process to access your subconscious mind so that you can change your beliefs on a subconscious level to intentionally create a new future with all the results that you actually want. Remember, your beliefs create your reality and your results as well. So if you want to experience new results and a next level reality, then you must radically transform and upgrade your beliefs to align with all that you want. And I'm gonna show you a powerful pathway on how you can reprogram your subconscious beliefs and turbocharge your mindset for love, abundance, vibrant health, success, and everything else your amazing heart desires. Now you can find out more details and get registered at stephaniekwong.com/self-hypnosis. And I'll also link that up in the show notes for you too. Now, if there's someone that you know who could benefit from this episode, pretty please share it with them. And if you got value out of this episode, and if it feels aligned for you, I would be so grateful if you would take a moment to leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, because when you do, that means that we can support even more people to rise higher together. And finally, if you want to connect with Sebastian and learn more about his awesome work and to create your own list of 100 things or to spread acts of kindness through Kindsome, all the links are in the show notes, and that's over at stephaniekwong.com/EP44. And while you're over there, you can check out all my other podcast episodes there too. Okay, as always, until next time, you know I'm sending you so much love.